I'm sitting across the desk from Len Estrin, and my understanding is you were a gunner.
As a ball turret gunner.
When did you actually get in the ball turret for the first time?
Oh, the first time in the ball turret was in Sioux City, Iowa. It wasn't very comfortable, but I was able to get in. I wasn't that big. I weighed almost 115 pounds. So I was able to slide in pretty easily. And I got used to it. Of course, I had the best view of anybody because I had 360 degrees in horizontal and 120 degrees in vertical, so I could see quite a bit. I loved I always enjoyed flying, even in that position. So that was no problem. It was cold, but we had electrically heated flying suits and boots to wear, and of course, oxygen masks and helmets. So we weren't particularly warm, but we weren't freezing to death.
Where was the base at?
Our base was Grafton Underwood, which was about 70 miles north of London, a little town with practically nothing in it at all. I think there was, if I remember correctly, there was a church, a post office, and about 12 houses. That was it. That was Grafton Underwood. It was so small for an English village, it didn't even have its own pub.
Your first mission was when?
My first mission, actually combat mission, was around the 1st of March, 1945. We had training missions before that where we learned to fly in formation and how to group and how to find your other groups and how to get into position to fly your mission. We had about three or four training missions like that in February. All our missions were daytime missions. Although we'd get up, it would be dark. It took about 4 hours to get ready for a mission. It wasn't, you just didn't get over to a plane and go. We had to first wake us up, and we had to have breakfast, had to go to a briefing, and we had to go out and make sure the planes were ready, had to get my guns out of the armory shack and put them back in the plane I knew they were there. Because we were responsible for our own guns, my 250 caliber machine guns, so I had to take them over to the plane and make sure they were inserted properly. And my special mission we had was our seventh mission, which was supposed to be a short one along the Ruhr Valley. And we got hit by flak quite a bit. Plane got damaged quite a bit. Our tail gunner got hit in the leg. Waist gunner took a piece of flak in his chest, but he was wearing a black suit, so it just knocked him down. He didn't get hurt. And of course, I was down in the turret watching what was happening. And the plane got damaged. We had almost 200 holes in the plane. We lost part of our hydraulics and a little bit of our electric. Part of our stabilizer was shot off. But we had a good pilot, so we managed to get back to the base okay. Most of the missions were between 8 or 9 hours. What longest mission was, of course, one time we were ordered to bomb only visual targets, and since the cloud cover was pretty bad over Germany, we kept looking for a place to drop our bombs, and we finally ran out of gas, or nearly ran out of gas. We had to land at Emden in Germany, which had just been taken over by the RAF, so we were refueled there and got back to our base. That was a long day. We were out over 14 hours that day. That was a long day. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. After every fifth mission, we would get a three-day pass. And we either went to London or we'd go to Nottingham. We saw all the wreck that London was, so much damage done to London. That's why the next time we went to Nottingham, which wasn't quite so beat up. Now, our crew stuck together. Like when we went on a three-day on a pass, we always went as the crew. We never mixed with the other crews too much. And the reason for that is we never wanted to make friends with the people in the next bunk because you never knew if they were going to come back or not. So we kind of stayed to ourselves. Yeah, we lost planes. One particular one, I was on the mission, but I didn't see what happened. But we were turning away from the bombing point, and I guess the co-pilot of one of the planes, or the pilot, kind of lost his bearings and he crashed into another plane. So all six, there was, at that time we were flying 8-man crews, so out of the 16, only 4 survived. We were able to get out of the plane and jump. They became prisoners of war for a while.
So the war is over. What happened after that?
Well, the war ended, but my group was sent to France, and what we were doing was going to Africa and picking up German prisoners of war and flying them back to Germany for repatriotism. I remember we had 36 planes, so we were trying to put 30 in each plane, so we're taking back almost 1,000 a day. And then we're going to France and picking up French prisoners of war in Germany and flying them back to France. I did two of those missions, decided that wasn't for me. B-17s were made to carry passengers. Right. I volunteered for B-29 training. My transfer finally came through. I came back to the States on DJ Day. It's August 17th, 1945.
You're an interesting man, and your generation, hopefully we show honor. And
Tom Brokaw said we were the greatest generation. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but we did our job. That's what I said. We did our job.